What?
What?
I don't have all my notes here.
Do we need a second?
Shoot.
Wait, I'll run home.
Yeah. Actually, I guess I do have. No, maybe not. Anyway, we'll make do. Hey, you know what? That song, I was trying to figure out what the title of my message would be. And now I got it. Humbly, I come to the cross. That's my message for today. If you can get anything out of my message today, get that. That we are to come humbly to the cross. That's good. That was good. Now we can go home. Anyway, I'm going to go back to my text that I talked about a month ago. If you remember, if you were here on the 1st of February, I think I was here, I spoke, and you probably don't remember anything I said, but I'm going to go back to those verses again. Anybody remember what I talked about? Amen. See, my wife remembers. we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 11. And I'm going to read that again, verse 28, 29, and 30. And then we're going to go to the next segment on that scripture. Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In Matthew verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Today we're going to focus on verse 29. And primarily on two things about verse 29. The take my yoke upon you, that's going to be the next message, because it'll tie in with the verse, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That'll be another message. But today's message is this. Jesus said, learn from me. Jesus said, learn from me. And then what did he say after that? For I am humble and gentle. There's many different versions on what humble and gentle are. It can be meek and gentle, meek and lowly. King James says meek and lowly, but gentle and humble. So that's what we're gonna look at Jesus, and we're gonna ask ourselves, why does he say, when he says, learn from me, for I am meek and humble? What does that mean? He could have said, learn from me, for I am strong, I am mighty, I am all these other things that we want Jesus to be, and he is. But why does Jesus say, learn from me, because I am meek and humble? And then, the next part of that verse, and you will find rest for your soul. Remember in the first verse, when I talked about it a month ago, I said, Jesus says, come to me. Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Here he says, learn from me, and you will find rest. Okay? There's a difference. Because learning is not easy. Learning is hard work. Everybody agree?
Yes.
It's hard to learn. But here he is saying, learn from me and you will find rest. In other words, you need to look for it. You need to seek it. You need to draw close in order to find rest. And part of that is learning what it means to be humble and gentle. And if Jesus modeled anything in his life, it was humility and it was gentleness. And I know, and I'm going to get to this because I was thrown back a little bit last week when we saw Jesus throw the whip or use the whip. And you say, well, how can Jesus be gentle and humble if Jesus threw the whip? Or if he whipped, he didn't whip people, he whipped the tables of the money changers. He didn't actually whip the people. But anyway, that's another story. And we'll talk about that a little later in my message because it kind of threw me off a little bit because Jesus using a whip doesn't sound too gentle, does it? But I'm going to talk about that. Anyway, so now I have to gather my thoughts again. So back to the subject of learning. And I just want to throw this out because yesterday I witnessed what it means to be learning. So we went to the, what was it called, Linda? The elementary music, what was it?
Young Musicians Festival
in Enderlin. And what I witnessed there is, I don't call it unbelievable, but it was a lesson in learning. So we get there, and it's these 5th and 6th and 7th graders primarily. So, by the way, Cullum, there was 23 students from Cullum? 23 5th and 6th graders, maybe one 7th grader. It was just great. Anyway, we get there and we go into one of these sessions where Rosa was in, but she wasn't in that one. But anyway, it was crazy because it's these college professors that are teaching these 5th and 6th graders about music. And Gloria, you probably can identify this, with this and anybody that's in music. But, so we have them, they do their little piece, you know, they play their horn, and this was a trombone and a trumpet from the kids in school here, and I don't remember their names right now. But anyway, that's beside the point. Anyway, so this... So they introduce themselves, and then they play their little piece. And then the adjudicator, that's what you call him. This guy was, I think he was from Valley City State, maybe. One of the professors there in music. So this kid, he does his little piece, and then the adjudicator says, okay, he walks up to the student, and he starts giving them a basic lesson on music. And I tell you what, he took this kid from this level right here in music, to this level in 5 minutes. He took a kid from this level to this in 5 minutes. He taught that kid so much, I don't know if he can just remember one thing. I mean, he took the mouthpiece out of his horn and he said, okay, now imagine you're singing through your mouthpiece. You know, just get that feeling of singing and your tone. And so he made him do the mouthpiece just with the mouthpiece. And then he put it on his horn. And the sound of the horn just sounded completely different just by doing one little thing like that. It was crazy. But anyway, it's just an example of learning and how we all need to learn. And I don't care how old you are, if you're a elementary kid or you're an 80-year-old or whatever, you can still learn. We can still learn. Okay? Anyway, that was just an example, and I was just really impressed, and an example of what it means to learn and to grow. And anyway. Okay, so like I said, I've left some of my notes at home. I don't know why I did that. We're going to go to Philippians. And I talked about this before, so we're going to go to Philippians again in chapter 2. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to do that later. We're going to go to Matthew, chapter 21. And this I just learned about this last week. By the way, something else I want to share. So, you know, learning how to be humble and how to be gentle, that's not easy. C.S. Lewis said this. He said this about humility. He said, if anyone would like to acquire humility, I can, I think, tell him the first big step. Anybody want to know what that is? And this is what he said. At least nothing whatever can be done before it. Because if you think you are not conceited, it means you are very conceited indeed. if you think you're humble or not conceited, it means that you are very conceited indeed. So that's the beginning point. And so when I share about this, I'm speaking to myself, and I'm going through a growing process and what it means to be humble and what it means to be gentle and what it means to be meek and all that kind of stuff. And I see it played out. What I'm observing is I see it played out in different people, in different situations. And I think, yeah, that person's humble, or they're showing humility. But then on the opposite side of humility is pride, right? Pride. And so I see that played out in people and in situations. The ego. You know what definition of ego is? Let's see. This is somebody, and this isn't mine. It's EGO, easing God out. Easing God out. That's what the definition of ego is. Easing God out. That's not mine. It's somebody else that came up with that, but I thought that was good. But anyway, getting back to humility. So we're going to go to Matthew 21, verse 1 through 5. It says, and this is a Palm Sunday message ahead of time, okay? Just a part of it. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them away. And in verse 4 and 5, and this is what I want to look at a little bit, it says, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets, Say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle or humble, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That's taken from Zechariah 9, verse 9 in the Old Testament. See, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey. Not riding on a horse, not riding, mighty king is he. He's coming on a donkey. This is Jesus. This is humble Jesus riding on a donkey. And then, wouldn't you know it, in Matthew 21, the next part talks about him using his whip. How can this guy come in on a donkey, and then the next thing he talks about is using a whip? I don't get that. Anyway, so in verse 12, the next verses in Matthew 21, what does it say? Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. So this is Matthew's writing here. And last week when Troy talked about this, he used the scripture in John. So, you know, the different apostles or the different writers of the Gospels look at these things in a little different way. So this is Matthew's way of looking at what was going on. And then he says in verse 13, it is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Okay, so tell me, we can make this a Sunday school class. Tell me how Jesus, the humble, gentle Jesus, will take a whip. And it seems, in observing that, you see anger, you see whatever, you see it. And how can you justify that with Jesus being humble and meek? Anybody want to give me an answer on that? Okay, yep. Gloria, that's good. That's part of it. Yes, exactly. You know, Jesus, we all have the emotion of anger, right? I mean, so when you talk about meekness, and if you go to the dictionary, and if you Google meekness in what it means in the Bible, because what it means in Webster's dictionary, it's kind of a joke. But what it means in Webster's dictionary is what it does not what it means in the Bible. So when you Google meekness meaning in the Bible, and then you will get kind of what Gloria is telling you. Meekness is strength. Meekness is strength under control. Did you ever think about that? Meekness is strength under control. It's gentle, it's humble, but it's under control. And so, like you said, you know, it says in the Bible, be angry and sin not. What does that mean? Be angry and sin not. What does that mean? yeah, right. So, righteous anger, yeah, that's another way to say it. Exactly. It's anger that is controlled, it's understanding, it's not resentful, it's not condemning, it's trying to help, but it's righteous anger, whatever you want to call it. But that's what we see in Jesus in this situation. So When you think about meekness, it's not being timid, it's not being passive, it's exercising, that maybe not the right word, but it's being angry and being controlled. Humility, it's still humility that is being controlled, and anger is part of that. So, I just thought that that was good for me to, again, be reminded of when we think about what Jesus' actions were there and what it looks like from the outside. But yes, Jesus showed anger, but Jesus was not an angry person, right? Jesus was not an angry person. God is not an angry person. God is a God of love, right? But he also is disappointed, and he also wants us to learn. He wants us to learn from him. Okay, anything? I'm almost acting like I'm in a Sunday school class. But we're going to go on from there. And I'm going to close with the passage in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians 2. And these I shared with, I think, last time. But I want to revisit this, because I want to tie it into our final, into the closing, and connect it with Isaiah 53, which, you know, which, and that's interesting. I didn't even know what the bulletin was going to be, but my closing is from Isaiah 53, and if you know, notice on your bulletin, Isaiah 53:5 is quoted in this bulletin. So go figure. Anyway, I want us to be aware of what Paul, the Apostle Paul, said regarding the person of Jesus. The Apostle Paul in chapter 2 talks about humility, Christ's humility and his exaltation. But in verse 3 it says, and this is for us, you know, what is as far as humility as we relate to other people and as we relate to ourselves, what does humility mean? Verse 3, Paul says, don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. This one, this verse is really, I'm trying more and more to think like this, to think of others better than myself. That's a hard one sometimes. But that's what it means to be humble. And so when you think of others, then you look at other people and you're not judging other people. You're thinking the best of for them and the best of them, and so you're not making a prejudgment. And I think this is part of it. This is part of it, of being humble. And don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others and what they're doing. So again, you know, people. You know people that they'll come up to you and they'll talk about everything that's going on in their life. And you know, they like to talk about what they're doing and all that, and that's good. But do they ask you, how's it going for you? What's going on in your life? And you know, that kind of thing. So it's just, that's part of being humble towards others. Being humble towards others, that's a hard one. Anyway. So then he, and then Paul, the apostle, talks about Jesus here. And this is our mindset that he wants us to have. You know, people say, boy, they got an attitude. And usually that's a negative thing. But this one, this attitude's a positive one, okay? This is a positive one. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. And though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself even further by dying on a cross. By dying on a cross. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And now in closing, I want us to go to Isaiah 53, verse 1 through 12, and then we'll have communion. Who has believed our message? And who has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities, and he carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he has assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. So as we go to communion today, I want us to be cognizant of what Jesus went through for us. I want us to be cognizant of his humility that is shown here. And in some way, that our mind and our mindset would be like that of Jesus. In some way, that our mindset would be like that of Jesus. Father, we do thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, how it instructs us, how it corrects us, how it teaches us. And Lord, help us to be open to receive what you have for us today. And Lord, as we go to communion today, Lord, I just pray that each one of us would think of their own life, think of how you have loved and how you went to the cross for every one of us, and Lord, what that meant for you, and Lord, that we might think like that and remember what you've done and go into this world with that kind of attitude towards others, towards you, and that your light would shine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd ask the servers to come now. Dale.